Well, it seems like it's been forever since we've had Eagle football. At least it seems like it to me. But here we are again on the Where Eagles Dare podcast doing a game preview. Welcome, everyone, to the live stream with Lee and Tubby here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast. Whether you're watching us on Facebook Live, YouTube, or Twitch, you can catch us here each and every week doing the preview. And also, if you're a fan of podcasts and you like your content that way, well, you can also join us on our podcast, which is the Where Eagles Dare podcast. You can find us on Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, which, believe it or not, seems to be our biggest right now as far as our biggest listeners are coming from there. I'd say almost 40% from Stitcher of all places. Now I use Stitcher, so I guess I can understand it, but it is what it is. So welcome again. Like I said, it seems like it's been forever and a day since we had Eagles. We had two games within 5 days. We had a Sunday game and a Thursday game. And here we are almost a week from that, and we still have to wait until Monday night where the Philadelphia Eagles are going to take on the Washington Commanders, really embroiled in a lot of controversy, troubled Washington Commanders of Daniel Snyder, which the Attorney General of D.C. is apparently doing a civil suit now, saying that the NFL and Dan Snyder colluded to defraud the government or to disguise all the toxic work practices that they did. It doesn't matter to me. All I want to do is beat this team and move on. This is the second time we've played them. I just want to be done with them. It's a division opponent. Those are never easy. I don't care what their record is. And honestly, we beat these guys 24-3, not just a few weeks ago, early in the season, roughly. But they had Carson Wentz then. They were banged up. Carson Wentz goes down with an injury. They bring in Taylor Heinicke, who was has been a pretty solid quarterback for them, not a barn burner, but let's face it, he's played better than Wentz. They've won three out of their last four. Had a shot to beat Minnesota last weekend, which would have been huge for them because, the Eagles beat Minnesota. Minnesota survived. So they're coming off of a loss, but they're hot right now, kind of. They got back to 4-4, and then they dropped 4-5 with the loss to Minnesota. So they're coming into the Link on a Monday night, prime time. You know the Eagles are going to be ready. It's just that we got to accept that this is a different team that we beat 24-8. We may not have such an easy go of it this time. We sacked Carson Wentz 9 times the last time. I don't know if Taylor Heinicke is going to take that many sacks, especially since that's all they're going to hear about this week is the 9 sacks. What is your take going into this game?
They came off a 3-game winning streak before they lost to the Vikings last week, but they didn't really beat any teams that are playing well at this time. So they beat the Bears. Bears aren't playing necessarily that well. they win here and there, but they, lost to the Cowboys last week, which is not crazy. But then they beat the Packers, which is that's saying something, but the Packers just haven't been playing well. Not that they're not a good team. They just haven't been playing well. And the Colts, they beat the Colts by 1 point. Mm. Another team that don't even know who their quarterback is. They got a coach fresh off the streets with zero experience. Beat them by 1 point, and then you lose to a Vikings team, which they were in it the whole game. Obviously 3 points, and even scored 20. So Taylor Heinicke is basically doing what he did last year. He mixes in a lot of good plays with a lot of bad plays. If you keep the pressure on him, like we did Wentz, I should see us really having the same outcome with the Commanders. We played Heinicke last year. We were like, man, he was playing really well. And then we went in there and we just kind of blew him out. Not blew him out, but he didn't really do anything. He is a streaky quarterback. I guess that's what makes him and PJ Walker, those XFL guys, because they're both streaky. PJ can go real streaky and then he could just fall off and you go, oh, I know why he was in the XFL. And then kind of the same thing with Heinicke. He can have some great games and then he'll just start throwing interceptions all over the place and you go, ah, I see why he was in the XFL.
Right.
So, but overall, they still have a good core in the backfield with Robinson and Gibson, I know JD's a little banged up, but and they got guys all over the place, man, that can ball, man. I do see the lawsuit. It is a lot going on. It's been a lot going on. Right. I mean, that's why their name is even the Commanders right now. Just they've just constantly been, and that wasn't nothing new with the name change. You know, that name change has been about for probably 20-something years as far as just people commenting like, man, why does it have to be named that? You know, so that was a long time coming. But when you compile that name change with everything else that happened, man, it's like crazy out there with Washington. Ron Rivera is holding on by a string, man, to just, they better be lucky they actually have an OG of a coach,
right,
in Ron Rivera, you know, ex-player, understands the business, understands locker rooms, he's going to have these guys ready regardless. So we still have to take them serious. It's still a divisional opponent. They're 4-5. It's crazy. Like, it's crazy how they're only one game below 500. And I was kind of thinking last week, I wonder if they would have helped us a little bit if they beat the Vikings. Cause now it keeps the Eagles this one win away from now being tied for in the NFC with the Vikings, obviously having the advantage with the win over them. But you get what I'm saying? Like, I don't want Washington to win. I don't want to hope that they win and then they go on a streak and then something crazy happens. And then now they're just in the mix that I don't want them to be. So yeah, man, I'm looking forward to this game, man, but we should be able to handle them. They haven't changed that line. They may have changed quarterbacks, but they haven't changed that line.
Right.
So if they gave up to 9 with Carson, I should say we should be able to get at least 4, man. What do you think our defense going to do this game?
Well, yeah, I think that the defense is going to get some sacks. I don't know if they'll get 9, like you said. Carson Wentz holds on to the ball way too long. So I think this is going to be one of those games that we've always seen with division opponents. You beat them, especially at their home field.
Right.
They play twice as hard in the rematch because you don't want to lose to your divisional opponent. You don't want to get swept.
Right.
So all week long, they're going to hear about getting the ball out quickly. So this is what Gannon should prepare for. And you mark my words when we watch this game and we're texting back and forth. Taylor Heinicke is not going to be going downfield like Wentz was trying to do, where Wentz was standing there in the pocket, looking like deer in the headlights, waiting for somebody to get open that wasn't getting open, looking at McLaurin, and not being able to make a decision like he does. This is going to be some quick passes. They're going to come at us in the run game because they know that the Eagles' weakness is the run. At least the Pierce has showed that. Some of the other teams had showed that they can run against us. So I think we're going to see a different game plan from the Commanders this week. I think you're going to see a heavy dose of Gibson and company. What's the kid who got Johnson that got shot in the leg?
Robinson,
yeah. Robinson. Got shot in the leg, so you're going to see him. And like you said, McKissick's banged up. But I think you're going to see a heavy dose of Gibson and then followed up with quick passes in the flats. They're going to try it. So the Eagles really are going to have to play up on their receivers because you look at what the Texans did. The Texans only threw downfield a couple times because they just didn't have the quarterback to do it. They had the one to Dorsett, but otherwise these guys were doing exactly that. Was the blueprint: throw short and run the ball, and it worked for a half. And I think we're going to see Washington come out very hot in the first half with that kind of game plan. It all depends on if Gannon comes after Heinicke and overly aggressively pursues or plays this short game. We'll see how it goes. One thing I want to say, it's pretty fitting that we are in DC playing this week when it was, election week, if you will, the midterm elections, which everybody's buzzing about. I don't really care about all that. I'll be honest. I'll say that I voted, but I don't really care because that's my philosophy, is that I've lived on this earth long enough to see both Republicans and Democrats rule and nothing different. I mean, they have different platforms of what they say. But what they do is totally different. But that's all I'm going to say. This is not a political show. That's all I'm going to say about that. What I will say is I got my sticker for voting. So I am. I just wanted to show that. Everybody gets to show their sticker when they come out of the election booth. I got mine, just like everyone else.
You can, they weren't giving out those at the ones I went to, man. I must have went to the wrong precinct. I need to get more East Coast so I can get out here. They gave me one that said Boo Nebraska. I said, wait a minute, it's not right. They don't like Nebraska because we're so close to it.
Oh, so okay.
Colorado, Nebraska beef is always there. So anytime guys are rolling around with big red stuff, people give them a lot of flack for it. Like Colorado's actually good this year. So
right.
So leave us alone. Anytime they play, it's a big game, man.
Yeah, man.
Now that's dope, man. Cowboys do suck. I wish they had these stickers in real life. I would definitely wear one.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I just love the Photoshop deal because this is pretty awesome. But you're right. Michigan and Nebraska is going to be a lot of fun. Michigan's got three more games to go.
For you. This is a walkover season to Nebraska. It makes no sense. You know, while we're on, it makes no sense why Nebraska just don't have the talent.
Right.
I mean, they have the name recognition. How come you can't get kids to come to that school that can ball out? I mean, even with Scott Frost leaving, he did better recruitment down in Central Florida than he did. It's like he got comfortable at Nebraska and they just kept paying. He just kept losing. They kept paying him.
Yeah.
He lost. He was like 2-8 contract extension. Like, what? Yeah. You know, but man, I'm really disappointed, but we'll be back. Big Red's been down for a while, man. They really haven't had that season since like Taylor Martinez was balling for them. But
and then he moves on and has a semi-successful season. What, Kansas State, right? He went down to Kansas.
That's his younger brother.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's the other
Martinez. Okay.
Yeah. That's I think that's his brother or cousin or something like that. Taylor, he was about like 8 years ago or something. I knew they had the Martinez that was quarterback, and then they got another one and all then right. Yep, he played well and then he went, I think he's out of Kansas or Kansas State. Yeah, gotcha. You're right about that. Gotcha. That's the other Martinez.
That's from not mistaken. That's how much I keep up with Nebraska, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But it's all good.
Hey, I don't blame you, man.
Staying on the political theme, again, Cowboys suck the sticker. Just some interesting Eagle news in the midterm elections. Just Corey Simon, one of my favorite defensive tackles of all time. He won a state senator of the great state of Florida. So down there, Corey Simon is your new state senator elect. So he'll be doing your state duties there. He's not on a federal level, but that's a big deal. It reminds me when John Runyon ran for office and everything and was elected. So, and I think he was in the
house.
Was
he in Jersey?
I think he was in the house in Jersey.
In Jersey. I know he's from Michigan, but I think his roots are in Michigan.
He played at Michigan,
in Jersey or something like that. That's crazy, man. Corey Simon. Look, hey, that's good to see folks, you know, moving on after football and still like affecting their community. That's pretty dope. I think didn't he go to one of those schools down there?
I think it was Florida or Miami, where he was from.
One of those schools. I think we drafted him up out of one of those.
Yeah, actually, he played. Did he play Florida State? He played Florida State. Florida State. I knew
in Florida.
Yes.
I knew he was in Florida when we picked him up.
So he was solid.
Oh, man. Of course, Simon coming out was highly touted pick.
Yeah.
Out of Florida State, man. Like a lot of players were back then. That was the Alabama at the time. You got a guy from Florida State, USC. Woo! Don't even talk about the Miami games. This is the Eagles bye. We talk about the Miami days with like Snap and Michael Irvin, Ed Reed, Ray Lewis. I mean, The Rock.
Well, that's what I was just about to say.
He didn't go on to be a great football player, but he came still a great athlete. You know, still took that swag from those U days.
Well, yeah, the mid-90s up through the early 2000s, that was the team, was the U. But have you watched the show Young Rock where he recaps his days at University of Miami?
Yeah.
I highly recommend it. It's a funny show. It's Rock. He narrates his own life. Mm-hmm. And so it goes back to when he was a kid, when he was a teenager, and when he was in college. So they have these three different stories that go on. Every episode's like a different age group.
Gotcha.
And so they do a lot. They tell a lot of stories of when he was when he knew Warren Sapp and all those guys at Miami, and it's really funny. So the ones with Miami, I actually love a lot. But anyway, we're getting off track.
R.I.P. Jerome Brown. Jerome Brown.
Yep, Jerome Brown
was from the Miami days. R.I.P. Because I remember watching documentary. He has like this military hat on, and they was just. Man, Miami was something, man, in the early 90s. Yeah, Luton had the music, everything.
Jimmy Johnson, head coach at the time. Yep.
Jimmy Johnson. Yeah. Golly. That's why he brought all that swag to the Cowboys. It makes sense now. It actually makes sense. I knew he coached Miami, but I never really tied Miami were like an NFL team in itself at the time. Like if you played for the Hurricanes, you might as well just tell everybody you played for Detroit Lions or the Eagles, the same thing. If you played for the U, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Even while you were in college, even if you were alum, it still had meant a lot. Florida's all those schools down there, man. And then, now it's not, man. Now Florida doesn't seem to be the place to go play football. Alabama and Louisiana and now maybe USC may be resurging.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see. The thing that you mentioned, though, it is odd because those Cowboy teams in the early 90s had a lot of that Miami swag, and they've not had any of that since. You had Dion and Irvin, Emmett, those guys. Emmett played at Florida, so you had a lot of that swag that they had, and it actually did propel them to championships, and they've been absolutely garbage now. You know, that's the truth.
Crazy.
It still sucks. Good thing for us is that those days are over and hopefully never to return. This team's pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to give them credit. But the Eagles won. They got scoreboard right now. All the Cowboys fans say, wait till we have Dak. Yeah, Dak Prescott doesn't scare me. I'm just going to let you know this, Cowboy fans. Dak Prescott does not scare a single Eagles fan out there. If you had Tom Brady, even at his age, with that defense, maybe you would make me just a tinge a little bit. There's not a single quarterback in the league other than there's one that I don't want to see it go up against the Eagles defense. And I'll be 100% honest. Patrick Mahomes, I don't want to see it go up against the Eagles defense. I think the Eagles defense is great if they create a pocket around him like they've done other quarterbacks. Mahomes just finds a way to get the ball downfield. He finds ways to win. You have to play on your game like the way Tennessee played this past weekend in order to beat him. But he's like fighting a southpaw in boxing. He's unpredictable, and you don't want unpredictable in the NFL. Josh Allen, yeah, great passing, but you take Diggs out of the equation, like we talked about last night, it makes a totally different scenario. And if you look at Allen's numbers compared to Jalen Hurts right now at this point of the season, almost identical. Unbelievable. In fact, he has more interceptions than Jalen, of course. Jalen's only thrown 3 on the year. I think Allen's up to 8 already. But other than that, QBR, everything is right down the line. Very, very close. But anyway.
Jalen is playing.
Yes.
Jalen is playing solid football. I mean, he is absolutely playing solid football.
He is. So here is the last 5 games that we had on the schedule that we talked about. Like I said, you pointed it out. They beat the Bears. They beat the Packers 23-21, and the Packers are struggling. The Bears, you know, when they played them 4 weeks ago, they weren't what they were doing right now. It seemed like this last week against Miami, and maybe it was just the opponent. Maybe Miami just a good matchup for the Bears.
Right.
Maybe it was, but Fields went off, and he's starting to see a little bit of confidence. So I wonder kind of what Bears team we're going to get this week, because the Bears, who the Bears got this week? I forgot. Hold on, I'll tell you. Give me 1 second. They have the Lions. So
they do have the Lions.
Yeah, they have the Lions. I have like a little board with all the helmets on it behind me, so that I can look at whenever I want and see who's playing who.
Gotcha.
But they're playing the Lions this week, so we'll see what kind of Bears team they got. But you're right, they lost to the Titans when the Titans actually had Tannehill running the ball, but they only lost by 4. But again, Wentz goes down. Heineke comes in, the whole culture changes, and then they have a 3-point loss to the Vikings. So it is a team to be wary of going in. And I think this Eagle team doesn't take any team lightly. If you watch the way they talk and you see them the way they come across, they're businesslike in their approach to teams. They're not looking ahead. They're not taking anything for granted. And so I think going into this, they've got their head on right. You know, you look at the Eagles last 5 games, beat the Jags in that downpour 29-21, had the game in control. Same thing with the Cardinals on the road, had the game in control, let Arizona back in late, ended up getting the missed field goal win. The Cowboys, again, three picks in the first half, tons of points, held off the Cowboys, who had a couple touchdowns to get back in it, but then the Eagles put it away with that long drive. Steelers, never in doubt, dominated them. And then the Texans, a little bit of a hiccup in the first half. So the Eagles haven't had the easiest of roads down here. I mean, you've got a couple of, weaker opponents, but it's not been easy. The Jacksonville game was a deluge. Arizona on the road against Kyler Murray. The Cowboys game, we've watched these games. It's not been an easy road. But the one thing that's been a constant for me is they've never looked defeated on the field.
Right.
And even when they've gone down in games, because they've had, like, even the Texans going down the field, scoring, they just don't seem out of it. The Steelers, you know, keeping it close in the first quarter. And they wear you down. And I think that one of the things that we showed that video yesterday of Jason Kelce where he said about the 18-play drive. And he said, everybody's celebrating, but I went and got some oxygen because I knew another one was coming. And that's the mentality that they're in right now with this team, is that they're prepared to have these long drives. So
that's a shout out to the defense as well, saying we're going to get the ball back. Cause I think he mentioned quick or something. He mentioned something else. I know we're going to be right back out. You know, it's going to happen again. I mean, we're going to get the ball right back. And yeah, man, Kelce, you know, Kelce also said in that interview, that post game interview after last week's game, that, you know, he's never really seen Jalen rattled. Really. He's like, I don't know if you saw that interview. He was just like, man, I've never, you know, he's probably one of the most poised players I've ever played with. And I was like, man, it could be a little hyperbole in the moment. But I was like, that's still high praise from a Hall of Fame center saying, man, this is one of the most poised guys I've ever played with. I thought that said a lot. You know, the one thing that stood out about the Commanders last week, they didn't really, that first half was 7-3 at the half, right? So it's kind of like a nothing fest, right? You know,
right.
One thing that was concerning, that Minnesota couldn't really get the run game going. I was a little surprised by that, you know, but Jefferson had a day, 7 catches, 115, touchdown, long for 47. I mean, Curtis Samuels had a big touchdown in that game to a 49er from Heinicke to Samuels. So I think Washington, the reason why they were able to climb back into this game is because they have somewhat of a balanced squad. Like, you know, obviously they were stopping the run. So when you can stop the run, that means teams can't run the clock on you because you're stopping the run. Oh, there you go. Right into these.
Yeah, they're 11th. You know, they're 11th in rush defense, averaging 113 a game. That's, you know, near top 10. You're exactly right. The thing that scares me about their defense, I mean, overall, they're 14th in the league. This is not a horrible defense.
Right.
They're 19th in passing, and I'll tell you why they are, in my opinion, is they run a lot of man to a fault. I like a balanced approach, a mix of zone and man. When we played them the last time, they come at you heavy, and they leave their corners and their DBs out in single coverage a lot. They will run a single high safety to put pressure on the QB and leave their guys in single man. And that's why Devontae had such a big game against them last time. Remember, he had that huge jump ball one-on-one plays where he it was really him and the defender, and he was able to come down with the ball. So if they do that against the Eagles this time, because I honestly think, so I said a few minutes ago that this isn't the same Washington team we played a few weeks ago. This isn't the same Eagles team they played either. I think that this team has gotten better since the first Washington game. I think that they've gotten more chemistry with their receivers. Jalen Hurts has. And so if they play man and try to pressure Jalen to force some sacks, they may get a couple. They're probably going to get a couple. Yeah. But they're also going to be leaving Goddard, Smith, and A.J. wide open, and they're going to make them pay. I think you're going to see a couple more big plays by either A.J. or Devontae or both. The run game, yeah. We may not see a lot in the run game if we can't get Sanders going. You know how the Eagles are this season. Everybody going into the season thought they were going to be a primary run team like they were last year when we got back into it. That's not the case this year. If Sanders isn't running, the Sirianni, they go to a lot of other plays. They go to RPOs, and they go to flat passes. They go to those little, you know, sideline passes. to try to get the ball going, you know. And so I think that you're going to see that if Sanders struggles against this rush. They're not going to stick with it. The Eagles just don't. Something doesn't. Yeah. And that's one of the things I like about this team is that they don't stick with a sinking ship. If a play doesn't work, you rarely see it again in a ball game. Like last year, they'd run that same play over and over at the goal line where they're trying to do that little reverse run or the option pitch. I am so glad they buried that option pitch. Now watch them run it this weekend. but that little, you know what I'm talking about, the one where Hurts grabs it and he's running side by side with the running back. It's horrible.
I'm so glad. That's a good point. I forgot they even took that out. It looked like a triple option or something. It was just so... That last year, offense went on a roller coaster. They had to find themselves because what they did at the start of the season, remember, they wouldn't even run the ball at the start of the season. Then they ended up being the best team in football running it. And it's just like, what? How do you don't even run for like the first 7-8 games?
Exactly.
You know, granted, Sanders had one touchdown. Not even granted, but as a result, Sanders only had one touchdown. That shows you versus this year, you see the success that he's having. Another thing about Washington, you know, you got T.J. Hockenson walked right on that field and caught 9 passes on him for 70. I'm biased, call me biased, but I think Dallas Goedert can produce that same thing against Washington. You know, I'm on some, if T.J. can do it, and T.J.'s a hell of a tight end, one of the best tight ends in the league. He's a good tight end, good blocker. He's just like Goddard. To me, I just think Goddard's a little better. I don't know.
Yep.
So there's the tight end part there as well. So we have AJ, we have Devontae, Pascal, Watkins, whoever you want to mix in, but we still have what a lot of teams don't, and it's that tight end, man. We have a solid tight end. We have that, you know, we're not just running them 2 yards out. He's catching 15-yard passes. He's part of our screens. He's part of a lot of big plays.
He is. He's getting a lot of recognition this year more than any other as being one of the top tight ends in the league. Fantasy production is if you've got him in fantasy, he's one of the few sure things outside of Kelsey in Kansas City. So you're loving it. If you drafted him this year, I wanted to, it just didn't happen. But that you're right. The Eagles have weapons. They've got their three primary weapons, and then you throw in Pascal occasionally. My big thing is, like I said, we need to see more progression from this team as far as being able to dominate. I don't care if they win it by 3 touchdowns. Just look dominant on both sides of the ball. Prove that you are 8-0 for a reason. I do think it is a very different team from week 2. The Commanders had come off of a big win in Green Bay at week 1. Everybody was raving on Wentz because he threw for 4 touchdowns, and everybody was like, oh, he's amazing, or whatever he threw for. But, you know, the Eagles came in there and shut him down and made him look bad, and then they went on a bit of a losing streak. And so I'm sure they're going to come at us, but the Eagles on paper are far, far better. I mean, you look at their current numbers right now with Heinicke, he's at 600 yards with 5 touchdowns and 3 interceptions and 87 rating. You know, Gibson is sitting at 328 and Robinson at 219. These numbers aren't great. The one you've got to worry about, McLaurin, he's got 600 yards receiving already, which is outstanding. And Samuel is good. Yeah. But outside
Samuel
of that,
was like Wentz's guy, and McLaurin is Heineke's guy. Even look at the touches last week. I mean, McLaurin had 5 catches. He had 9 targets. He led in targets by almost double. Samuel's had 3 catches, but that one came on that 149-yard play. Most of them was dinking and dunking, man.
You're right.
You know, I will give Carson a little bit of, now that I'm looking at their schedule, I'm like, man, he went on a run where he played some solid teams. He started his first loss out, they beat Jacksonville, but then they lost to Detroit.
That's right, it was Jacksonville. I said Green Bay.
A bit of a shootout.
I'm sorry.
Then they come lose to us, but then they have to go play Dallas and then Tennessee.
Right.
So they were on a 4-gamer where it was some tough squads, and then you go right into Chicago and Green Bay.
Right.
They've had somewhat of a tough schedule, man. So they may be a little more battle tested, but I can't say that because the Eagles were down. You know, we don't talk about enough that the Eagles were down 14-0 to Jaguars.
Right.
And we came back in that game like it was nothing. So you can look at the total score of the Jaguars game. But what if I told you the Eagles were down 14-0 before we even got going, because they scored, and then the pick 6, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, and we never flinched in bad weather, still continued to make plays. So we've seen our team in holes this year. You know, we've seen, you know, I guess that's adversity. I mean, down two touchdowns in the NFL on a shitty night, you know, where it was raining and real windy. Some teams struggle to come back from that.
Right.
But because you're trying to get a 14-yard play in one play, and that don't happen. I'm sorry, a 14-point play on one play, and that just doesn't really work out like that. So
yep.
I just think we're up against it again, man. Divisional opponent. They are playing well. They didn't play great against Minnesota, but they gave Minnesota a scare towards the end and almost should have won that game, actually. No. For a minute, they were up.
They were up. They were up till late. Minnesota had to come from behind.
Yeah, it was just that first half they were down.
Yep.
So I think overall, man, we just have – this is another team that if we do what we – just play our style of football, we can dictate the pace in this game. Like you say, Patrick Mahomes isn't coming to town where you have to kind of adjust and see who's dictating the pace and, you know, see where you can see your game management and stuff. I think, man, as long as we respect this team, which we will, you know, Brian Robinson, Gibson, we're going to have a day in front of us, man. And probably Thomas is coming back. They love Thomas, Logan Thomas. So I think this is going to be another dogfight for us, man. Just whether it starts slow and ends good or whatever, it's going to be a little weird there, man. It's going to be a little weird, man. Divisional opponent, again, they're feeling confident. You're 4-5, and I think you mentioned only three teams were over 500 in NFCs.
Right.
I'm sorry, NFC, yeah, period. NFC.
Yeah, period.
So if you're Washington, man, you really want to win this game, put you back at 500, put you in a place where a lot of the other teams in NFC aren't. So they have a lot to play for. You've already said it. They definitely don't want to get swept. to a divisional opponent, it's kind of like one of those things like, oh man, we got swept to y'all, you know. So they have a lot to play for, and to quiet down all that chatter going around their team too. So watch out, man. I think Washington is coming up the ranks, man, and you can see four NFC East teams in the playoffs, man. While I'm on that for a second, the Vikings play Buffalo this week.
Yeah.
So if Josh Allen plays, something's going to have to give. That 7-1 record or that 6-2, this means we have to win and keep putting us in that better position, man, the best position we can get in. So hopefully the Eagles see that the Vikings are 7-1, see they're still playing well, and use them, if not even the Cowboys, as like a, I don't want to say a benchmark because we're above them, but, you know, just something to, you know, pay attention to. You know, competition's right there because we slip up one game, same record as the Vikings, and now here we go, so.
Yeah, you're right. The Vikings have a really tough matchup with the Buffalo. It's in Buffalo, so a big difference. They also have to play, like you said, they have to play the Cowboys and the Giants this year. So the road is not easy for the Vikings the rest of the way. Yep, they're 7-1. We're 8-0. They escaped with a win over the Commanders. I had my notes down wrong, and so I was actually looking at the Viking or the other opponents, the Vikings opponents, because it just was on my screen wrong. So you're right. Jacksonville was the game that went through four touchdowns on. Eagles had them week three and won 24-8 pretty convincingly. They had the safety, and then Wentz got a touchdown late. It wasn't even that close. So this one, I think, like you're right, I think it'll be closer, but I think the Eagles should be comfortable for most of the way. Now they are 11-point favorites. Wow. They're down a little bit from the Texans. That's a lot of at home is a big reason. They're at home. It's prime time. They play well on prime time. So it's a tough one for me because I think anything over 10 and a division opponent that even that's down is tough. So
11 points is a lot, man.
Yeah, it's a ton. So real quick, let's look at the injuries. This is the last thing we've got on this game. They've got a backup lineman, Beavers. I love that name. They're undisclosed injury, questionable. A corner, Castro Fields, you know, expected to return week 11. Dotson is a questionable with a hamstring injury. That's probably their only real. And Drayden, he's a decent defensive back, questionable as well, undisclosed issue. I would say the questionable ones you'll probably see try to suit up. I would say that. And, you know, our injuries. We lost Jordan Davis. That's one thing that we will not have in this game to help stop Gibson. Hopefully they fix that middle of the defense. Hargrave is great rushing the passer, but we have not been able to really stop running backs from getting to the second level. And I think that I honestly believe, like you said, that they're going to come for us, and I think they're going to try to do it on the ground like the Texans did. I think everybody from here on out, the one thing that the media did get right is that when you saw what Pierce did on the ground, even though it was a blowout loss, everybody is now looking at the Eagles and going, yeah. And I tell you why they do it. It's the Eagle scheme. And again, I'm not faulting Gannon because it works in other aspects. But the problem is that you're set up with six men in the box because of how much pressure you come from the end and how much coverage you do on the outside. So they run usually two linebackers and a nickel corner who's usually lined up on the outside, or he's not so much in the box, but he can make a play. But the problem is you play a nickel corner 65% of the time, they're not stopping the run. Your linebackers could probably do that. You're taking Hassan Reddick and putting him on the end, and so you've got two other linebackers in Edwards and White, not necessarily run stoppers there. So you've got to count on the middle of your defensive line to do it, and we're not getting it from Fletch and Hargrave right now. So if when in the Texans game, when Gannon mixed it up, when Pierce was killing us in that late in the third quarter, early fourth, and he went to eight men in the box, that stuff stopped. And then the Texans didn't know what to do at that point. So you have to start to recognize what are teams doing, start to disguise that maybe you've got six men in the box, and then before pre-snap, shift them inside to stop that run. You know, whatever we got to do, we got to do it. So because teams right now, we're a target for our run defense. And it's gonna go that way every single game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. Because we're the benchmark of the league right now. You know, people are trying to beat us. You know, like I said, once the Jets beat Buffalo, it took a little to cool out their walk. But the Eagles with that zero, that eight and zero, that zero is a bullseye, you know, because everybody's shooting for it. Everybody wants to put up a point on you. So, yeah, man, we're up against it every week, no matter who we're playing. This is a lot of all professional athletes, the top guys. Somebody's going to be able to put together a game. Like, come on, man, we haven't played perfect football. We just played better football than everybody else we've played. And that is facts. That is facts. I don't think we've escaped, you know, if you want to say the Cardinals, but they weren't whooping us. They would have just tied it up. We wouldn't have lost the game. You know, they would have just tied it. But nobody has played significantly better than us. We just, you know, they've exploited some sparks. Like I said, the triple tight end package and, you know, along with that heavy run right now is the key to even stay in the game with the Eagles. Because you give us that ball back, we're scoring a lot, man. I'm telling you, exactly. Eagles had a chance to score every single drive of that Houston game, the first half. It's underrated. It's underrated. Every drive you have a chance to score, just some stuff here and there. Oh, man. So I think they're playing solid. You bring that same energy, they'll be fine.
I agree. And I hope they do win on Monday. I think they will. I think, you know, I think everybody kind of does that they'll win. They may not cover that 11, but I think most people think that the Eagles will walk away with a home win on Monday night. And then they turn right around, and I hope so, that they go 9-0 because they turn right around and go to Indy the following week. And I'm going to be at that game with my son.
That is right.
I'm hoping that I get to see them go 10-0, which would be crazy.
That would be insane, man.
You got to know that if they get by Washington, their odds of going 10-0 with Erlinger at quarterback and a new coach in Jeff Saturday, and they got to face Taylor, but the odds are in their favor that they go into Indy and win. Not guaranteed. Nothing's guaranteed in this league. Right. But yeah, I'm hoping that that's the case, that they come away Monday with a win and we go to 9-0 and we move on in the season.
Yes, sir.
And that's all she wrote for this Eagles preview of the Washington Commanders coming to Philly on Monday Night Football. Da, 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 da. I need to get that in the sound bank so that I can play on Monday night. I should have. It's my fault. I blame myself. This first Monday night game.
Day Sunday night. Get that one too.
No. You know how I feel about that theme song. I'm like, I've never understood that theme song. I've been watching football all day. I've not been waiting for Sunday night because I've had football. It would make sense if there was no football at all during Sunday and the only game was Sunday night. So I've never understood the Sunday night football theme. I'm just saying, every time they sing it, I go, makes no sense. I've been watching, especially if your team played at one of the earlier games, you've not been waiting all day for Sunday night. You're tired, and now I'm going to bed to watch football on Sunday night. That would probably be better. I don't know. Because I'm usually laying in bed watching the game on Sunday night. I'm not waiting all day. But anyway, I digress. Thank you for joining us on the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. We're here each and every week to do Eagles recap. We also here to do a Eagles preview. And we also do a fantasy football show each and every week. If you like any of those things, make sure that you like and subscribe us on YouTube. You follow us on our social media platform on Facebook. You can find us Where Eagles Dare podcast. It's that simple. Same thing on Twitch. Also, we're on all major podcast providers, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, so many more, including Stitcher, which is where most of our followers come from. And if you want to email us with any of your questions about fantasy or the Eagles or anything at all, tell us we suck. I don't care. Tell us the Cowboys suck. That'd be fun. You can email us at lee.bird, that's byrd.eaglesdare@gmail.com. Until then, we have to wait now. All weekend long. It's Veterans Day weekend. I do want to say happy Veterans Day. Tubby and I are both veterans. Tubby's wife is a veteran. My wife was a veteran. My daughter was a veteran. My son is a veteran. That's the family we come from. So yeah. Happy Veterans Day to all my favorite vets out there, including this guy that sits across from me each and every week. So I want to say that. Enjoy the long weekend, and we'll have to wait just a few more days until Eagles football. Will be back here next week to recap the Commanders game. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tubby for his final words of the night.
Hopefully keep the gas down, man. And the Commanders, man, don't take them lightly. Keep the foot down on the pedal, man. Just keep going and just keep building, man. Monday night in Philly is going to be rocking. Happy Veterans Day, you know, to my buddy here, Lee, as well, too, and all the veterans out there. RIP to William Irby. Yeah, man, with that said, man, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you next week.